You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, like that dude just said, yes, this show is indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 3:07 p.m., March the 3rd. Going right now to the phones with a friend of mine, Justin Bogey. He serves as the Senior Director of Fiscal Policy at the Alabama Policy Institute, previously also worked at the Heritage Foundation, spent some time also up in D.C., and even in Montgomery in the Legislative Fiscal Office. Justin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you, Phil.
Yeah, good to have you on. And I sort of prepped, I hope I didn't steal any of your thunder, but I sort of prepped the discussion here with, you know, this amazing level of epic, really pork barrel spending that they got going on right now down in Montgomery. Your thoughts on this surplusage we have?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I would call it the best example ever, maybe the legislature being tone deaf, but the kind of short version of the story is they had a $1.3 billion surplus in the Education Trust Fund going into 2022. And, you know, yesterday in committee, they passed a bill to appropriate almost all of that, just all but about $50 million of it is going to be invested into the education budget. So it's going to bring education spending this year up to $9 billion, by far the most in state history. If you can combine it with the general fund, it's north of $11.5 billion in spending this year. And I think with what everyone's been going through the last couple of years, you know, my question is, why aren't they looking for ways to take less money from all of us, the taxpayers, instead of putting more money back in the government? And, of course, there's also the argument that we've been putting more and more money into education the last, you know, 5 years or so than we ever have before. This is another, you know, record spending by the legislature on education. And what has it really gotten us? And the results haven't been there.
Yeah. All right. So let's break some of that down for a minute. The first piece, though, this is a surplusage. These are revenues. This is not federal relief dollars, right? That's separate. We also got a huge stack of federal COVID relief monies that were like one-time monies. But this is what we call a budget surplus that comes off of revenue growth, correct?
Yeah, this is basically Alabama taxed all of us taxpayers in the education budget about $1.2 billion too much. And, you know, we were talking about it yesterday at the office. If you overpay the federal government, you get a tax refund. But apparently if you overpay the Alabama government, they take that money and put it back into themselves instead of giving you any money back. And you're exactly right. On top of all this money, education's gotten $4.5 billion in federal stimulus funds. The state's gotten another $4 billion or so. Locals have gotten several billion dollars. So this is just, you know, money on top of money, basically.
Yeah, it really boggles the mind. I mean, we have never been this flush with cash as we are right now. I mean, there's more money in Montgomery than probably ever in the history of the state. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. There's never been this big of a surplus in the two budgets. There's never been this much federal money flowing into the state. It's really, you know, a lot of people have called it a historic surplus. And with that, I think there's a historic opportunity to do some really good things for the citizens of the state. But what we're seeing instead, if we keep on this path that it looks like the legislature is going down, is it's going to be a chance to do more and more historic spending, which, you know, in the long run isn't going to be a good thing for most of us.
Yeah. And you know, being very pragmatic, I said earlier in the show before you came on that I understand, and I know you do too, and everybody else does, I understand that there are aspects of government that are called essential services that do cost money. I mean, we can't have state troopers on the roads. We can't have roads. We can't have other things that are required to be a 21st century state without spending money. But most of what we're seeing on this list of things they want to spend the excess funds on are not on needs. They're just wants.
Right. And you also have to ask the question, you know, money, throwing more and more money at something doesn't necessarily make it better. And that's what we've seen with education. But in terms of this supplemental bill, this $1.3 billion, about half of it's going towards capital projects, technology advancement, some of those types of things. But those projects would have likely, most of them would have been covered under this federal $4.5 billion that the state's already gotten. So you know, why are we using taxpayer dollars that you know, where too much taxes were taken from citizens to pay for projects that the federal government was already willing to pay for? That's another question here.
Well, so Justin, I have already sort of outlined for the listeners on the show the fact that there are things, there is low-hanging fruit that they could address with the surplusage, even if they did it for, you know, a temporary, like a grocery tax sales tax holiday or a one-time income tax refund. They could do things if they wanted to right now. The courts have already said they could even use the COVID relief dollars for that. But here's the argument that I know we're going to hear. It's campaign season and they're going to say, we even cut taxes this year, but they were like so limited in scope that nobody's really going to see it. What were the limited targeted tax cuts that we've seen so far?
Right. So there's been about not quite $200 million in so-called targeted tax cuts. And I'll remind people, targeted tax cut means that, you know, a lot of us won't see any benefit from those. But about $87 million of this tax cut came from the state deciding not to tax enhanced benefits that were provided by the federal government, like child tax credit. There was, you know, a bump there for several months for parents, earned income tax credit. So basically half of it's coming.
Oh, did we lose Justin? Copper, did he cut off?
Yes, I'm afraid so. I'll call him back.
All right, call him back because we're about to do to take a break anyway. But let's see if we can get him back on and finish up that conversation, because I think what's important is that we recognize that literally, in fact, that he just reminded me, and I'd forgotten this, is that one of those tax cuts, so to speak, is really just not taxing you on what they've never taxed you on before. Basically, just choosing not to tax you on certain things. Is he back on, Copper? You got him?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hey, Justin, I know you lost your signal there for a second, but...
Sorry, I got dropped for a second, but you're exactly right. They're claiming a lot of these savings from not taxing something that was never taxed before, really wasn't the state's to tax in the first place. And then, you know, they're kind of touting these small business tax cuts. Basically, they're exempting the first $40,000 in business property from property tax. That only saves about $5 million total. The way I figured it, it would be something like maybe a couple hundred, $250 savings for a business if they were eligible for it. So it's all pretty small scale stuff when you consider a $1.2 billion education trust fund revenue surplus, you know, that they're pursuing.
Yeah, it's very small. It's so small, it's really almost not worth talking about. I mean, I'm glad they did it. Nonetheless, I'm glad they chose not to tax, you know, the Biden bucks that people got in the mail. I'm glad they chose not to tax, you know, certain things that they've never had, you know, scope over anyway. And I'm glad they're giving some business tax relief, but it is so limited, like you said, so targeted that the vast majority of Alabamians won't even know it's there. It's a shame.
Right. Yeah. It's better than nothing, but there's so many good bills out there right now that could really move the needle and make those changes that help everyone, and they're not really going anywhere.
Well, and to your point a minute ago, Justin, and in fact, you wrote a piece that was on 1819 News this morning, sort of summing up some of your thoughts on this. You point out the fact that a lot of this money, this surplus spending that we're looking at right now, is going into the education budget, which is basically like saying you're throwing more good money at a bad problem, but money has not been the resolution thus far because we've been increasing the education budget for the last 10 years. In fact, when I first got in, we grabbed hold of the education budget process and for the first time ever mandated that it has a reserve. And then we had to borrow money 1 year from the state rainy day trust fund just to make ends meet, to make sure that we could, you know, meet our current obligations. Now they're in such surplusage and yet, at the same time, the education rankings have gone down. And there's states that rank higher than us that spend less than us per student.
Yeah, I was looking at it yesterday, and there's 9 or 10 states that spend less per pupil. You know, notably Mississippi right next door spends less per pupil than we do, and they're having better outcomes. You know, we're in 2019, we were 52nd in math, and that was actually, you know, it's gone down since the 2010 or so.
Yeah.
So all this money clearly isn't helping things. So, you know, when are we going to start talking about structural reforms to education or hiring more science and math teachers and those kind of things, and keeping good teachers as opposed to just putting more money into it. And you know, I know you've talked about on the show this Del Marsh's school choice bill. That's something that could really reshape the face of education in Alabama. And it's, you know, the prospects of it passing aren't looking really great at this point. So, you know, why aren't we doing things like that instead of just throwing more money at the problem?
Well, because money is the cheap and easy solution, and money is what the teachers union is down there advocating for. I mean, the teachers union does not want their comfort zone, you know, touched. They want things to stay the way they are. Status quo makes them happy as long as status quo also comes with a raise. That's what they're looking for. And that's
right.
What they're getting.
And they're on track to get another 4% raise this year. So I guess
4% on top of 2% last year, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, they've gotten 6% pay raises in the last 2 years, while a lot of times our kids were even, you know, not even in school. They were having to do it remotely.
Right. And to your point, that's all education employees, not just teachers who were still doing Zoom classes and that kind of thing. That's bus drivers, cafeteria workers, custodians, whatever, who for several months in 2020 were at home and, you know, didn't even have to report for their job probably.
Wow. Okay. Hey, well, Justin, man, I appreciate you as always. Justin Bogey with the Alabama Policy Institute, the Senior Director for Fiscal Analysis. You can find out more from him at 1819news.com or at alabamapolicy.org. So, hey, Justin, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, absolutely. Well, Copper, move us to a break. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. Folks, it's just like, well, my friend Scott Stantis. You may remember Scott. He came on the show not long ago. I need to get him back on again sometime soon. We're overdue. But Stantis is a political cartoonist. And I'd never seen him do this before. I tweeted it out the other day on my Twitter feed. But he did this thing where he had a cartoon of Kay Ivey next to a pig trough and all the politicians running to it while she yelled "Suey." But he did it as a video showing the cartoon kind of coming together over a few seconds. It was very cool. But that's where it is, man. They're just bellying up to the trough right now. It's so frustrating to watch. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Moving next to the next part of the Triple Dipper, Ukraine. What now? What next? We'll talk.